for that song. This morning, if you have your Bibles with you, I invite you to open them with me to Matthew chapter 6. We'll be reading 10 verses, starting in verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, a passage from Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. Jesus says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." Amen. I respectfully invite you to take your seat. This passage, these verses, were the theme verses for our youth camping trip last weekend. We went up north with the youth for a few days to go camping, and we spent three evenings and three mornings meditating on these words of Jesus. And I decided to extend them to us here this morning as an entire congregation, because in these words of Jesus, he addresses a challenge that applies universally to all human beings in some form or another. This challenge of worry, this challenge of anxiety. It's a struggle that crosses generations. It crosses cultures. It crosses even historical eras. Jesus' words are just as relevant today as they were in the ancient world. These words of Jesus cross various life stages. You don't grow out of worry or anxiety. Allow me to share a short story that illustrates this. A young man who was a high school senior spends his days thinking, "If I can just graduate, life will finally settle down." He's tired of classes, he's tired of homework, he's tired of his parents' rules, and he dreams about graduation because then all his worries will end. Graduation comes and goes, now college begins, and soon he's once again worried about grades, tuition, choosing the right career. He thinks, "If I can just get the right job, then these worries will finally be behind me." He gets the right job, and now he wonders, will he find the right person to share his life with? Will she be Romanian? Will she get along with my family? Will she want to live where I live? If I could just find the right person to spend my life with, then all my worries will be gone. Eventually, he meets this person, and he falls in love with her, and they get married. But now, the worries change. Can we pay the bills? Are we doing enough for each other in our marriage? Should we buy a house? Where are we going to live? They finally find that place where they want to call home, but now they want a baby. 1 year passes, 2 years go by without success. And just as they prepare to meet with the physicians, she conceives. They think, now our worries are over. 9 months later, the baby arrives, and so do new worries. Is the baby healthy? Why won't she sleep? As she grows, the worries grow too. School, friends, driving, college, safety. They discover that every stage brings a new set of concerns. Work is no different. There are worries about deadlines, about layoffs, about promotions, about the economy, and retirement. Eventually, retirement comes and it brings its own questions. Health, finances, purpose, loneliness, and the future. You get the idea. Life has a funny way of convincing us that peace always waits in the next season. Once I graduate, once I get married, once the kids grow up, once I retire, then there will be nothing more to worry about. But all of us know from experience that the reality is that the sources of worry and anxiety do not disappear. They simply take new forms. And yet, in Matthew chapter 6, Jesus gives us this command, do not be anxious. He doesn't say, do your best not to be anxious. He doesn't say, well, eventually your worries and anxieties will disappear. He says, here and now, do not be anxious. This imperative of Jesus to us suggests that although the sources of worry and anxiety in this life are everywhere, it doesn't mean we have to be slaves to them. It is possible for us to be anxiety and worry-free in a world full of reasons to be anxious. And so we must ask ourselves, how is this possible? This seems like an impossible task. How do we reach that point? And I think the clearest direction that we have in Scripture comes in Paul's writing in Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, which we quote often. Paul says, do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Paul is telling us that this path from natural human anxiety to supernatural divine peace is prayer to the Lord. It's prayer that turns our anxiety into peace. Why? Because prayer, it's not just prayer for the sake of prayer, it's prayer that leads us to Christ. He says, and the peace of God which surpasses all understanding will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's when Christ is the destination that we experience this peace. You see, anxiety is built upon falsehoods that we have come to believe in our minds. If I fail, my life will fall apart. If I just work hard enough, then I can control my future. Everything depends on me. I need to carry my own burdens by myself. My value depends on my performance. These lies that we believe and convince ourselves of. And the only way to counter these lies is with truth. And Jesus Christ is the truth. In him, we find the truth that helps us overcome the lies that bring anxiety and worry into our lives. And so this morning, I want to highlight two specific truths that we find in Christ Jesus, in his words, in Matthew chapter 6, that will help us overcome our anxious thoughts so we can experience God's supernatural peace in our hearts. The first truth that we see in Jesus' words is that you and I have a greater purpose than we realize. In verse 25, Jesus said, therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. And then he asks this rhetorical question, is not life more than food and the body more than clothing? The implication is that your life is meant for something more than just living and working to meet the material needs of this life. That there is a greater purpose and greater meaning to your life. And he's not dismissing our material needs because later on he goes to say God will take care of these needs too. But what Jesus is telling us to do is to zoom out, to look at the big picture, to consider what really matters most. Because when we get fixated on the minor details of life, the things that are secondary, tertiary issues, we lose sight of this big picture. It's like going to the Grand Canyon and trying to take in the Grand Canyon by looking through a drinking straw. And if you've ever been to the Grand Canyon, you know that the beauty of the Grand Canyon is that it's this majestic, gigantic thing that your mind cannot wrap you can't wrap your head around it. It's so big. It's beyond comprehension. The beauty of it is in this great majesty that you see when you walk up to it. And if you look at it through a small hole, you might see some certain things of the Grand Canyon, but you're not experiencing it for what it's really meant to be, for what makes it grand. You see, God created us for a purpose that is far greater, far bigger, and much more beautiful than just the minor details of life that we so often get caught up in and get fixated upon. And Jesus tells us 8 verses later what that purpose is. In Matthew 6:33, which is probably the most famous verse in this passage, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness," there's our purpose, "and all these other things will be taken care of." You have your primary purpose, and then you have the secondary and tertiary issues. Seek the primary purpose, God will take care of the rest. If we were to summarize the kingdom of God and what it's all about in just a few words, I think we can summarize it in this statement, that the kingdom of God is about knowing Christ and making Christ known. Everything we're commanded to do, every direction we're given in Scripture, every example we have is for this purpose, to know Christ personally and to make Christ known to others. This is the purpose of the kingdom of God. This is the big picture that we need to have in our hearts, in our minds, in everything that we do. Because when we make that our primary purpose, we will see that anxiety begins to lose its grip on us. Why? Because that purpose of knowing Christ and making Christ known is a purpose that we can fulfill regardless of the circumstances that we may or may not face in this life. If our purpose is primarily to succeed in our careers or to accumulate a lasting wealth or maintain perfect physical health so we can live a long life or to achieve some particular materialistic dream, then when the layoffs come, when the health fails, when the plans fall apart, anxiety, worry, fear is inevitable because we have lost our purpose that we've created for ourselves. But if our purpose is God's purpose for us, then it cannot be taken away by changing circumstances. The job loss, the diagnosis, the financial hardship, or any other trial cannot take your purpose away. No matter what life brings, you can still know Christ more deeply and make him known to others. And we can have a peace and confidence knowing that if those trials that we so often worry about do end up coming into our lives, they are not an obstacle to us achieving and living out our purpose. They are a means by which we achieve our purpose. It changes our perspective of the trial, of the things that we so often worry about in the distant future. Look at the life of Paul, for example. In Philippians chapter 1, verses 12 to 14, Paul writes, as he's in prison, "I want you to know, brothers, that what has happened to me has really served to advance the gospel so that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to all the rest that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers, having become confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." Paul is being persecuted for his faith. He's imprisoned for his faith. This is something that I think would be a valid reason to have worry and anxiety about. But Paul is saying, this came into my life for the purpose of making Christ known. This trial, this test, is for a purpose. It helps me fulfill my purpose. We often worry about these difficulties that could potentially come into our lives and disrupt our lives. But what if we realize that whatever potential difficulty lies before us is there for the purpose of helping us accomplish what God has planned for us? It completely changes the way we look at the future, the way we look at trials and tests. It makes it possible for us to have peace about these things that would typically produce in us anxiety and worry, because we have a greater purpose. I pray that the Lord helps us remember this purpose and live out this purpose in our lives and experience the peace that comes with that. Secondly, Jesus shows us in these verses that we have a gracious provider. We have a gracious provider. In verse 26, he says, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" And similarly in verse 30, "But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith?" We have a heavenly Father who wants to provide for us because he values us, Jesus says, because he loves us. And not only that, but we have a heavenly Father who has the means to provide for us. He has infinite resources to meet your specific need in your specific situation. And he understands exactly what you need. Jesus says in verse 32, your heavenly Father already knows what you need. He has the means to help us. He has the desire to help us. And he knows exactly what help we need. Do you see what Jesus just did in these words? He showed us that for the Christian, anxiety and worry is illogical. It's illogical. If you recognize the God that you serve and how he feels about you, and you live with that on the forefront of your heart and mind, there's no reason to be anxious, Jesus says. And yet, we so often still become gripped by anxiety and worry. And the reason for that is because at the core of our anxious thoughts is a lack of trust in who God is. That's why Jesus says at the end of verse 30, "O you of little faith, don't be anxious. Don't you see God will provide for you, O you of little faith?" He's telling us that that's the reason for our anxious thoughts. For having anxious thoughts about these minor things, it's because our faith needs work. And so what do we do about that? How do we reach a point where we can trust God more so that we could be freed from anxiety and fear and worry? The answer is quite simple. I wish I could give you some profound methodology that you've never heard before, a simple fix. But the answer is much simpler than some people want to hear. Pray and read your word. Pray and read your word. You will never trust God if you don't know God. You will never be able to trust God if you don't know God. Who are the people in your life that you trust the most? The people you know the best, your spouse, your parents, your siblings. And in the same way, if you do not know God, you will never grow in your trust for him. If our lives are not marked by the word of God and by prayer, then we should not be surprised when they become marked by anxiety and worry and fear. Because we don't know God as our supernatural provider, our ultimate provider. It is when we are with him in prayer and we are hearing from his word that we experience his supernatural peace, because we grow to know him as our trustworthy provider. And I'll close here in a moment so the worship team can make their way back up. As we do this, as we spend time with the Lord in prayer, in his word, growing to know him more, sometimes that peace will come in this sudden way where the Spirit of God just removes that burden, fear, and worry off of us and gives us this peace that we can't explain. I think all of us, at least most of us, have probably experienced that in some form or another, where there's a worry or an anxiety or a fear in our lives that we just said, I can't take it anymore. And we brought it before the Lord and we laid it at his feet, and all of a sudden, we couldn't explain it, but that thing that stressed us out, it didn't stress us out anymore. Sometimes the Spirit of God pours out his peace in that way. And other times, It comes from doing exactly what Jesus did here in Matthew 6, what he shows us how to do. To logically, methodically combat the lies that feed worry and anxiety with the truth about God. When the anxious thought comes in, we don't just feed that thought, we don't just sit with that thought, but we say, hold on a minute. I have a God in heaven who sees my need, who loves me, cares for me, who created me, who knitted me together in my mother's womb, knows exactly how to provide for me, and he wants to provide for me. And he's going to care for me because Jesus told me so. And as we do this repeatedly, habitually, day after day, because those thoughts do come into our minds daily, week after week, month after month, slowly over time, we begin to see that the norm in our lives is no longer to worry or fear about the future or about things that come up, but the norm becomes the peace of God, which guards our hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. I believe that if we live out our purpose to know Christ and make him known, and as we trust our Heavenly Father to provide for our every need, we will see our anxiety about tomorrow be turned into a confidence in the Lord. May the Lord help us in this. I invite you to stand as we worship together.